Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad you're here. It's the July 8 edition of the Grilling Guys. Summer is in full swing. We just got the holiday weekend behind us. Hope you had some great grilling success, created some envy in your neighborhood at the holiday parties. It's kind of weird this week, Barbecue Bob, because a lot of America took Monday and Tuesday off, with the fourth being on Tuesday, and it's like short week. All week I've been like a couple days behind, and here we are talking about the weekend again. So I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, I feel you. And thanks for joining us. It was a short week. It went by really quick. A Wednesday felt like Monday.
Yeah.
So that's okay, because that makes a good work week where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken skewers. That's what I want to talk about. I did some chicken skewers when I was up for the Independence weekend. And I brought some steaks up and some chicken skewers. Now, my wife, you know, God bless her, she always is prepared for about everything, you know. So she went out and got some chicken breasts. And she got the skinless, boneless, and I looked at him, and I kind of held my breath a little, and I said, you know, if we're going to go on a guest grill somewhere,
yep,
I'd like to see some skin and bone on that chicken, because those right there, I can do really well on my infrared grill, but you're going to challenge me on a campfire and some other things to make them really, really nice. And she goes, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. So I said, that's all right. I think I know what to do. I got out a few different oils, flavored oils, and a couple different balsamics, and I found a spice blend that had been one of these test-run spices somebody sent me, I'm saying 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's a packet.
Fresh, huh?
It was still fine. I tasted it, and it was just great. It was hermetically sealed, right? So I dumped that in with the oil and balsamic. I took the chicken breasts, and I cubed them up to, like, inch by inch, maybe, because I figured we're going to skewer them when we got to Scott and Katie's cabin. And I threw some Vidalias in there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. That was so nice. It was just a balsamic and some really nice garlic EVO and this crazy barbecue spice blend, which I don't normally do with chicken.
Right.
I don't, you know, people are like, oh, barbecue chicken. No, I don't even put barbecue sauce on chicken. I like that at the VFW once a year.
Right.
That's about it with the old boys doing it.
Right, right. But now the important thing about skewering that chicken is you cut those cubes up all about the same size. That way they cook evenly, right? I mean, that's just a tip when you're doing barbecue skewers. Over the weekend, I went and visited our favorite butcher, and I got to give him a little shout-out, Tim Sobey at Sobey Meats, because he always takes such great care of me. And
you got some free meat.
Yeah, I got some meat from him. Yes, it was awesome. But my point is that it was beef ribs, and I am not a seasoned beef rib guy. But I said, you know what? I got time, and I've got the patience. I'm going to give this a run.
That's how you keep going at it.
Right,
you get seasoned.
Exactly. So as I was preparing for the show this week, I threw a shout out to our Facebook friends, and I said, hey, what's difficult for you to grill or smoke, and tell us which it is, and then we'll try to give you some tips and techniques. And a couple people responded back to us that beef ribs were one of the toughest things that they could do. Justin Rosenau was one of them, that, and he's a regular follower of the show. So Justin, thanks for the shout out. But so beef ribs, brought them on the temperature, let them put some seasoning on them, and I think this is where I made the mistake. And talking with you, Bob, I didn't use a heavy enough salt seasoning. I used more of a steak seasoning, which maybe isn't so heavy on salt, but had a little more garlic and some paprika and some other spices in it. If I had to do it over again in talking to you, I probably would have put a saltier rub on it and then maybe just some cracked pepper and garlic powder. Yeah. But anyway, beef ribs.
And then what temperature did you do the first 2 hours at?
I was at 250 degrees, and I was pretty dialed in with that because I used my ThermoPen digital thermometer with the probes on it. And so I set it right there, and I set the alarm at 260. So if I got up, I was just dialing that pellet grill back.
So how much smoke were you throwing on the meat?
You know what? Not a lot, because at 260, that I used the pellet grill. And at 260, that pellet grill is really not smoking. You got to get it down a little bit, maybe like 210, 215, for it to throw a lot of smoke off those pellets. But anyway, put it in there. And the probe, I went to 160 degrees on the meat. And here's the other challenge I had, is I had a big piece with five bones, and I had a smaller piece with only two bones. Okay, well, the smaller piece, I didn't have the probe in. I put it in the bigger one. I figured that'd be the one that cooks slower, right? Well, I was right there. In that, by the time I got the big piece up to the 160, and that 160 is significant because then I wrap them in foil pretty tightly and put them back on and take them up to about 195 where they're going to be done. But that little piece was overdone, and the bigger by the time the bigger piece was
done.
You
know what you might consider next time is just not using a ThermoPen, not checking temps. Do it by look, feel, touch. And consistency.
Well, they were wrapped in foil, and that's the part that I couldn't tell. That, you know, that was where I used
But I mean, even to determine when you're ready to put them into foil.
Okay.
Instead of trying to worry about a temperature, because ribs, I don't care if it's pork or beef. Myself personally, I never check the temperature on them.
Yep, and I was doing it trying to get a good product.
You're using brisket mentality.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not the same. You'd think it would be, but I don't know. I just never do it that way, and I don't for pork ribs either. It's all about the look.
Okay, so if we're helping out the listeners, and what is the look that you're looking for? Because I saw one of that two-bone rack, it puffed up. It got probably twice as high as it was when I started. And the meat had retracted off the end of the bone, so it was gravitating toward the center, and it was getting taller as it did that. The five-bone rack never did that. It shrunk a little bit, but it didn't get thick in the middle like the two-bone.
Because it didn't have a lot of meat on it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think there was meat on both
it's
of them.
It's trimmed differently.
Okay.
See, and that's why if you go to your butcher and tell them you want to trim them, you want your ribs cut full length for individual smoking, so you can make the big caveman piece out of it that you like so much. He'll cut them up for you like that, and then you'll have a consistent piece of meat that's going to reduce and break down at the same pace and all as one muscle. You're dealing with really two different pieces of the rib cage there, treating them the same way. So I don't know that I can't explain it because I wasn't there, but based on what you're saying, I would tell you just the next time is just to use full-length ribs and smoke them at a nice low temperature, 2 1/4, for like 4 hours, maybe five. And then when they're starting to get a little bit tender, that's when I wrap them and I hydrate them just a little bit. And I leave them on for about another hour. Beef ribs, if they're cut properly, you're going to be foiling individual ribs.
Okay.
And they're going to
mine were in a rack.
I know
right.
it. I know it. And those are nice for Korean ribs, which we can talk about later. But, you know, when you talk about success or how do you achieve what you like, I'm going to tell you that those are the steps I would take. Because it's within my control, something I know how to do. I'm not maybe saying it properly, but that's a process that I have found works for me.
Right. So the average guy that doesn't do this very often, we always advocate a ThermoPen, but it is a feel thing once you get it going. Coming up next, we're going to go fishing for a little bit of grill help in that area. Stick with us. We'll be back. Making your world stand still. Somebody else will.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed, got your feet on the floor, and you're getting ready to create a little smoke in your backyard because tis the season to be grilling. And we're going to talk a little bit of fish right now. A lot of people like to do, when it's hotter, they like to do a little bit lighter dishes. And we get a lot of questions about fish because I think it's a difficult protein for people to grill. So we're going to run down that road. What are you thinking, Bob?
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Hey, don't forget to go to our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. And if you want to podcast the show, look at the top right corner of the website, click on the links, and we'll send this show for free right to your phone or device. Before we get into that, I wanted to just mention that we were on Lake Michigan for 3 or 4 days, and we tried talking these friends into buying tickets with us, but while we were up there, we bought tickets to see U2, and they're going to be at Ford Field in a couple months with, it's just going to be, Beck is the warm-up band. Yep. So when I heard that music, it made me think of Beck. I don't think it was him, but thank you, Mr. Producer, Mr. Brian. So fish
reeling light, back in, here
like
we go.
Light fish, halibut, is one that I love to grill, and that's, one you can screw up very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could do your foil method cause that's probably where you're going to go. But if you want to taste the smoke on it, if you want it to be grilled and not fried on foil and butter or something like that, cause there is a difference there. If you want it to be grilled, I would take some EVO and make sure your steak is your fish steak is thick enough, because that's part of the problem. If it gets really thin, you're going to have then the temperature has everything to do with what your process is going to be. But
so for a thicker fillet,
for a thicker one, you can go with a little higher heat, and you want to, because you're going to want to sear that face of that steak right off the bat. So I'd brush EVO on it because it's going to release better, but it also helps that heat make contact and sort of cauterize that muscle, right?
When you say the face of it, are you leaving the skin on one side? And
Nope, and it's a steak, so your skin would actually be around the rim.
Okay.
So it's a true chop. Jop. So I'm going to put a little garlic EVO, butter EVO, any one of Old World Olive's favorite oils. And then I'm going to put some sea salt and cracked pepper and a little bit of thyme, either fresh or powdered thyme. But that's all I'm going to put on it. And my mouth's watering right now just thinking about the last time I made it. And if you can get fresh halibut, good for you.
Yeah. It's a little bit more of a pricey fish.
It's really pricey.
But you want to watch it when you're cooking it so that you don't ruin it, because it is a, you know, $20 a pound fillet, because the stuff comes from Alaska.
Yep.
It's not around here. But my question to you is that you said you're going to put it on a hot grill. How do you know
the halibut
when,
I am.
How do you know when to flip it?
When it releases.
Okay. So if you
are worried about that, and about everybody should be worried about getting it to release, get a two-faced basket. You know, get something you can clamp your meat into and set it on so you can flip it easily. Grill Daddy, all kinds of guys. I think Broil King sells them. Onward Manufacturing. They're
any place online, right.
They're $20, and it's a basket. Now, the newer ones have the kind of spring-loaded version of it, so it changes shapes and sizes for different size meats in there, which is nice. But that's your safest bet. I did some those chicken bits the other night again when I got home. I liked them so much I did some more at home, and I just got my grill basket with holes in it, and I threw all the chicken and all the onions right on there as I did a couple of nice ribeyes.
Right.
And that works so easily.
Yeah, and a grill basket is just a perforated pan, if you will, or it could be wire mesh, whatever it is, but very good for vegetables and smaller meats that you want to grill so they don't fall through, right?
Yeah.
And you can, but it does that. And secondly, is it if you've got renderings that are coming off from, maybe if there's a fattier meat or something, you won't get the flare-ups because it'll drip through the pan.
Not as much.
And if it flares up, it hits the pan, it doesn't hit the meat so much.
A little bit.
Right, exactly.
They're cool. They're mine's stainless, and there's it looks like something Dave at Perforated Tube would make for you.
Right.
You know, it's got perfect round holes in it. And they're like $30.
Right.
So that was one idea. Tilapia. I don't care for tilapia because I know all tilapia comes from China.
Right.
So I won't buy it. I won't order it.
Right.
It's just, that's a thing for me. So if you want to know how to make tilapia, I don't know, look at a Chinese website.
It's a popular fish just because Chinese it's so mild. Right. I mean, and it's in restaurants everywhere. And because it comes from China, it's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And so that's why people eat it. And it's not bad. It's
flavorless.
Just, I get it.
It's flavorless.
Right.
It's tofu.
It is a very light,
choppy
fish. So let's talk about like
mahi.
Well, I want to go with the freshwater fish, maybe some bluegills. People are up on vacation this week and they're going out fishing in the morning and they come back in with a nice mess of gills, right? And two schools of thought there. When you fillet them, you can leave the skin on if you've scaled them. Some people like that skin. It gets crispy when you cook it. Other people will skin it, so you've got just a skinless, boneless fillet of fish, either way. But if you're grilling that, you're going to want to season it lightly because you want to taste the fish. You don't want to taste the seasoning. And the other piece of that is that I'm back to my foil, Bob, because I've not really ever found a great way to grill fresh fish without it breaking apart because it's
small,
so thin.
When there's small little... See, I don't even mess with bluegill, so I would definitely not try and put it on the grill. It's just too, they're so dinky.
But a lot of people catch them, right?
I know, that's not a grill meat, in my opinion.
Right. I think you can. You put a little foil down with a little butter on it, and it's almost like frying them, but you're using the grill, leaving the mess outside, is where I'm at with that.
And you do get a little smokiness from it, I suppose.
Yep. Make a little Lowry's on just a dusting of it, and man... They're tasty. They're tasty. What about mahi mahi? I know that's one of your favorites, your Hawaiian background when you're in a service and stuff that you enjoy that.
And that's, you know, anywhere along any of the ocean coasts, you catch the Portuguese dolphin. And it's just a wonderful game fish. I don't know if you've ever caught him or not.
Nope.
But it's like the best white meat you could ever pull out of the ocean. Swordfish is my favorite. This is like, swordfish is perch, and mahi-mahi is walleye.
Okay. So similar, just very good, tasty fish.
You know how the perch is nice and dense, and swordfish gives you that nice dense meat.
Steaky, kind of steaky when it's done.
And mahi-mahi is light and flaky like a walleye. You know, a little more oil in the meat probably or something. But on something like mahi-mahi, I'm going to probably go against my better judgment and put a little coating on it before I grill it.
And what do you mean by coating?
I'm probably going to use just a dry mix like Captain Ken does. And I'm going to have all my seasonings in the coating. And I'm going to oil my grates right before I set the piece down. And I'm going to have medium heat. And I'm going to let that piece sear up real nice on the first side before I try flipping it. Now, if you have a set of, if you have a spatula, like I've got one of these spatulas that's actually got another little contraption that you can squeeze and it kind of holds your meat on as you flip it, that's really nice for delicate meat like that. And
because you can slide it under there and then kind of pinch it.
Clamp it,
Quick, like flip it over and it doesn't fall off while you're making a turn.
You don't have to flip it so hard. You can gently turn it over.
Yep.
So when you said coating, like
when you said coating, you're looking like a cornmeal.
Like Drake's or something.
Something like that, or a flour, but very lightly.
Just the flour.
Right.
I'm not going to do the beer batter and all that stuff.
Right.
I'm just going to put a little coating on it.
And grill it.
Yep.
Rather than fry it.
Yep.
Yep, because the moisture that comes out of the fish during the cooking process will crisp up that little bit of flour that's on there. And so you're getting a what looks like a deep-fried fish, but it's really on a grill.
Yep.
Kind of a cool concept. Yeah, interesting. But, you know,
but you have to oil the grates before you put each piece down.
You do.
It's a little bit of a pain. That's the hard part for some. But there are some cool I have a little device that's a jug with a silicone brush. You put your oil in it. And you squeeze it, and it puts the oil on your grate, and it's silicone. It doesn't hurt a thing.
Right. Very cool. Coming up next, we're going to run a cow across the heat. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Come on, sing along to my backroom song.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. hey, it's midsummer, man. If you're not out in the grilling mode right now, you're not a grilling guy at all. So we're going through a little bit of the tougher things to grill on the out in the backyard. And I don't mean tough by the cut of meat. I mean tough by skill-wise, because put a shout out there on our Facebook page, the Grilling Guys, this week, and got some great responses from people. So we're kind of going down the line and trying to address those. Coming up this segment is we're going to talk about fatty meats, because sometimes we have a little problem with those. And Barbecue Bob, what you thinking, man?
Well, first of all, thanks for joining us again. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us on the weekend. You can check us out on Facebook. Jop put that post out there for a little help with the show plan, and everybody chimed in on it. And if you're not following us on Facebook, it's The Grillin' Guys. Go ahead and give us a follow. I'm on Twitter at Grillin' Guy. And it's just a good place to get some pictures out and stay in touch with you all. But in terms of cheap meats, gosh, I think pork steak is a good solution for that. Again, if your butcher will cut it for you custom, you can get it cut a little thicker, because a lot of times the supermarket cuts are very, very thin.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to find is that it's a little tough. So if you're willing to grill it and then put it into something and let it indirect for an hour to tenderize, that would be fine.
What do you mean into something? What do you mean by that?
Again, some sort of aluminum pan, a cake pan, something that you can hydrate and cover and put on your grill or in the oven, or some sort of warming device that'll finish cooking it, because it's got some connective tissue and fat you're going to want to get to dissolve to make it a presentable piece of meat. But I'm telling you, if you take a pork steak and get it cut thick, you spice
and thick,
it.
Thick, you mean by like an inch?
Inch and a half, yeah. You get it, you smoke it for about 2 or 3 hours and serve that to somebody, and they'll think it's about the best piece of pork you've ever served.
Okay, so we just switched piece. We switched horses. We were grilling on the beginning there,
yep.
And you were going to grill it to just get some color on it,
well,
and then put it in a pan and
yeah,
cover it?
I don't know if we're grilling or smoking, because that person that asked the question,
let's make a recommendation.
I don't know if they, you know, what they're putting it on, but the smoking is the easy way, right?
Right.
With a dense meat. So I'm saying most people just have a grill.
Right.
They just have a cheap gas grill. They're going to grill it up. What do you do with it then? Well, it's going to be a tough piece of meat. You have to throw it into some sort of a pan, hydrate it, cover it, and then finish roasting it for an hour and a half.
You're going to put beer on it, wine,
no,
broth?
What are you thinking? Chicken broth.
Chicken broth on
yeah.
pork,
mm-hmm.
all right? Pretty much a universal hydration liquid.
Or beef broth.
Right. Either one of them.
Or vegetable broth.
Now, do you want it swimming in it, or you want just a little bit of it in there?
I just want enough in there to hydrate the meat.
Okay, because you're going to cover it tight with foil over the pan.
I'm going to foil it.
Yep, and put it in there and kind of steam it almost
yeah,
is what you're doing, because
really.
You're on indirect heat, right?
You're finished. You're bringing the temperature of the meat up, and you're reducing the muscle and the connective tissue. You want it. Whenever you have a cheap piece of meat, it's because it's not a beautiful steak or ham area. And it's just, you know, an undesirable, which means there's going to be lots of little muscles going through there. And when you look at a cross section of it, it's kind of complex, and you've really got three different types of meats in there. It's not real attractive, but if you cook it right, it's really tasty, because there is all that fat in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can reduce that fat down, get to the flavorful meat, you'll be pretty happy.
Right.
Smoker is always the easiest way, though.
Right. And if you have a smoker, you're going to set that up. A smoker is obviously indirect heat. Is for those of you that don't have smokers, you can make your grill into a quasi-smoker.
Weber kettle.
If you've got burners on one side or the other, or if you're using charcoal, put your charcoal on one side and your meat on the other. Because what we're trying to do is get that convective heat
yep.
on the meat, get the hot air circulating around it to cook it, rather than the flames underneath it that are cooking it.
So what were the other tough things that people are struggling with?
Well, they were asking about brisket. I think we covered that already. And they were asking about ribs, pork ribs specifically, in that they're wondering how to know when they're done. It's like one of the comments was, I think they taste pretty good, but they're not falling off the bone. And,
okay,
and I know you got to figure
yep.
on that.
Here's what you do. Typically, people like to grill the whole rack, or they'll cut it in half.
Right.
And let's talk St. Louis ribs.
Okay.
Because they're cheaper. So If you've got a whole rack of St. Louis ribs, it's, what, 18 inches long?
Right.
17 inches. So depending on how you've gotten it to this point, but you think it's just about done, you want to know if it's done, take your tongs or put your silicone mitts on and pick up the end of those ribs and hold them out like a plank. And it'll start to bow. And if it starts to bow, but the meat's not pulling away from the bone or breaking a little bit, it's not done. If you see, if you lift it up like that, and it's the meat is starting to want to pull away from the ribs, it's done.
Right.
You're over.
And if you do that and they break in half, they're probably overdone, right?
Or perfect. Just pull them off immediately and sauce them and set them to the side.
Right.
If you like sauce.
So with the ribs, I know we've covered this lots of times, but as long as we're on it, prepping the ribs is a big part of what you're doing to cook them, and that is you got to get that membrane off the back. We've talked about how to do that with the paper towel, stick a butter knife under it, peel it off there, comes off in a sheet. But that's a big tip right there on ribs, because you get, now you get seasoning on both sides, but you also get that chewy membrane off of the meat, so when it is ready
and
to go.
And there are guys that leave it on.
Yeah, not and this
so,
guy.
So I think, again, if they're struggling with the rib, maybe they're doing the same thing you did with the beef ribs, and they're trying to check a temperature, or they're using some kind of indicator that says, okay, here's about where I need to be. When do I tent? When do I pull? When do... So I'm saying just do them a bunch of times. Keep working on it and find that feel. Find that spot where you can lift those ribs up and you can look at the grain of meat going across it, because the ribs will run one way and the meat grain will be going on a 45. And they'll want to separate. When it's done enough that it'll want to separate, you're ready to sauce them and finish them.
Okay.
But they'll have been wrapped for an hour already by the time they get to that point. So if you're not wrapping your ribs, when you have a half inch of bone sticking out on a pork rib, take some foil and tent it up. Make yourself a nice little cocoon for each set of ribs. Throw them back into direct heat. But put them back on and tent them, and a little bit of hydration, just a little touch, whether it's sauce or watered-down sauce or broth or whatever you want to use, beer. Mm-hmm. Some beers are good for that. I'm thinking a Jawjacker. It's great for cooking. Not so good for drinking.
Yeah. It's an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do a ribeye. Let's go on the other end. The pendulum swings to one of the best cuts of meat, in my opinion, that you can put on a grill. But there are some intricacies that you have to be aware of when you're grilling that. Now, a ribeye is a prime choice or select. Doesn't matter. Ribeyes are all marbled. As you go up that scale, they're more marbled. But that marbling is fat in the meat, and that adds flavor. So the more you have in there, generally, the better the product's going to be when you're finishing it. But the more fat in there also can create some problems with grilling. Let's talk about that a minute.
That's right. And that's the flare-ups. So depending on how big your grill is and how many people you have to make them for, spread them out a little bit. But here's what I did last night. I did some ribeyes, and I trimmed them up real nicely. And trimming a lot of that outside fat off them as much as possible won't hurt a thing. It'll make it much more easy for your guests to eat it and cut it. And it'll save you a little fat going into your grill to catch fire. But you have to space them out and spread them out. And I would definitely tell you to trim them. And I'm still going to do them at a high heat.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know I'm going to get a flare. But so get a little spray bottle with a little water in it and just hit it. If you know you're going to have something flaring, just get a little spray bottle.
You're hitting the flame, not the meat.
I'm hitting the flame.
Right. We don't want to water the meat down and wash the seasoning away. We want to cut the flame down where the grease is hitting the burners or your coals or whatever it may be.
Get a squirt gun, throw some vodka in it.
There you go. Yeah, and then get a squirt bottle for the grill. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to chase a yard bird around, slow one down, and get him out. Stick with us. We'll be back.
And it makes me want to take a back road. Makes me want to take the long way home. Put a little gravel in my travel. Unwind, unravel all night long. Makes me want to grab my honey.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob. Mid-July, man. We're in the heat of grilling season. And
the heat of baseball.
Yeah, got it all. Our Tigers aren't doing that great. But
speaking of sports, let's give a welcome out to WVFN, the game from Lansing, the new affiliate for our show here.
So absolutely.
They're carrying a lot of baseball.
Glad you're tuning in. We appreciate it. Let's talk a little Yardbird. A lot of times people try to cook chicken. I'm going to start at the beginning with a little bit of safety on the front end, because this is the one that gets people sick more than any piece of meat that we deal with, is dealing with raw chicken and cross-pollinating, or whatever you want to call it, the cutting boards and the utensils. They're not cleaned between. And then people, I guess bacteria grows, in my mind, the quickest.
Bacteria does grow in your mind.
Yeah. What was I talking about? Yeah. No. Bacteria grows the quickest, it seems to me, on chicken, because it'll heat up quick and you get it on the board and there's a lot of juice and just that. So when you're working with
raw
chicken.
We should get a health inspector to come on the show sometime, because there's a segment right there, that whole bacteria thing.
Right.
A lot of people could use some
school. It's in my mind, though. We already established that.
The bacteria is in your mind. That's true.
But back to the chicken.
To the tyria.
You need to be careful with chicken. When you're seasoning and prepping it when it's raw, make sure you wash your hands between the time that you put it on the grill and the next time you touch it.
Now, that's a great conversation, because we're going to do my friend's family reunion, and I'm going to go barbecue for him. That band out of Denver that comes out and plays for at the Founders, they're playing at the thing, and So they want me to do the barbecue for it, and I asked Maureen to go with me because she loves that band, and she's like, I just worry about, you're gonna make somebody sick, or, and I said, did you see how I just did that chicken? I'm cutting up everything, I'm rinsing, I'm sterilizing as I go, every board, every tool, because it's chicken, it's a nasty little bird, and I'm washing down like crazy. And I'm even being careful with the knobs on the sink and all this stuff. You'll see I'm using the back of my wrist, and I'm not spreading that bacteria. That is a big deal.
Right. So being conscious of that is the point, and use some extra care when you're doing it. And then once you get it on the grill, clean everything up. Okay, clean up your boards, your knives, your tongs, everything that had raw product on it before you start the serving process. So you got 15 minutes or 20 minutes or depending on how you're cooking it, you got an hour.
And that's a great conversation because actually you're talking about process, or as they say in Canada, process.
Right.
So the process here is when you're bringing that stuff out to the grill, as soon as you put it on the grill, that's actually when I take it all in and wash it and wash down the area or anything around that grill, because it's going to take 5 to 15 minutes before you even touch anything on there anyway.
Right.
That gives me just enough time to do a complete wash down of whatever I need to do, because I'm not going to take the chance of that thing sitting around and somebody setting something on it.
Right.
Because the next thing you know, they got the Hershey squirts.
Right, and that ain't good. And now they're blaming me for that, and that's the last thing we want to do when we're cooking for anybody.
Yeah.
So, okay, our public service announcement on cleanliness is good.
Yes.
So let's go. We just put I'm going to go with leg quarters. They're 99 cents a pound everywhere in the big box stores. It's a cheap chicken to put on there, but there's some do's and don'ts. We talked about most of the don'ts right there. The do's are, how are we going to season that? Usually leg quarters have a skin on, and there's a layer of fat underneath that skin. Let's talk seasoning them first. How do you usually season a leg quarter? And then I'll tell you how I do. It's probably the same way.
Well, I'm kind of simple with chicken. I'm kind of simple with a lot of seasonings anymore, it seems like. But I'm going to do some lemon pepper and some sea salt. And I'm gonna oil down the skins. I'm gonna oil down the side where there's no skin on it, and get my seasoning on there. And then I'm just gonna season the skin side.
Right.
And I'm gonna throw it on so that the oily side is down, because I know it's oily. It's not gonna stick, and I don't want to get that fat in that skin reduced too fast. I want to let that run through the meat as it cooks. And you can talk about, are you cooking with the grill lid down or up?
Right.
You know, there's all sorts of variables when you talk about a protein or the style. I cook with the lid up because I'm using 100% infrared, and it'll get too hot if I don't.
If you're cooking with a gas grill or you're cooking with charcoal, my next thought on that is, when I am cooking chicken, I don't have the fire smoking hot. I'm at a medium because I'm willing to let it take the time, render that fat like you talked about. I might turn it up at the end when I flip it over and I want to crisp up that skin a little bit. But what I don't want is to burn it through on
the
bottom.
That's a great point. And I do grill at medium, but I still can't really shut my lid at medium.
Right.
Because of the design of my burners, it wants to woof on me, and it scares the crap out of me.
Right. Yeah, and it gets super hot. Those infrared, they do that. A lot of people won't have those. They'll have a standard gas grill, but where I'm going is, or a charcoal,
but that
medium heat.
But that infrared of yours, you can burn it with the lid down on medium heat. It will not do that same woof. It's burner design. Anyway, so that's a good point, medium heat. Because you can't rush chicken. You've got bone in there.
Right.
So you want to slowly penetrate that with your heat, or go faster than heck and pound the heck out of it. But you're going to destroy parts of it in that process.
Right, if you go fast. If you are, this is one where I recommend that you use a digital thermometer.
Absolutely.
You're going to get that to 165, and you want to put the tip of that thermometer right in by the joint on a leg quarter, right where that leg hits the thigh. There, that's the deepest, thickest part of the meat, and that's the last place it's going to get cooked. There's nothing worse than serving your guests. They cut their chicken at that joint, and they got a bloody red joint.
I would tell you that you could even run that up to 175 to be safe, because you're going to find little crevices in there that are still bloody. It's so hard to penetrate.
Yep. And it's just better safe than sorry.
That's the piece you can't destroy.
Right.
If it's just a leg quarter, you got a piece of back meat. You don't have a piece of breast with that, do you?
No.
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 No, I pound.
That's on the other end of the bird, the, Bob. The, yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you meant a half chicken or
right.
A, or
no,
quarter.
Just a leg quarter.
Yeah.
But so many people grill skinless, boneless breasts. Let's go there real quick because it's a really, really popular meat. The moms think it's so healthy because there's no skin, there's no bone, there's no fat, which also means there's nothing to protect it.
There's no flavor.
Right, and there's not a lot of flavor. You got to put it on there. But talking about grilling those skinless, boneless chicken breasts, you can go from hero to zero in a hurry if you cook those things too much.
Yeah.
Because they get like a hockey puck.
Now you're really – now. Well, what you can do is you can trim them down so you have consistency. I actually – take those, and I cut the skinny end off,
uh-huh.
And I cook that at a different rate than I do the fat end.
Right.
And you'll see they vary quite a bit in from breast to breast.
Right.
Imagine that. So I'm going to lay it out on a board, and I'm going to unfold that skinny part, and I find the flattest piece of it, and I'm going to trim that flat piece off. Just like the flat on a brisket.
Right.
And I'm going to oil that up, and I'm going to spice it up. I'm going to throw it on the grill. I'm going to do the same thing with the fat piece, oil it, spice it, throw it on the grill. And I'm probably going to do those on a medium-high heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there isn't any fat in them.
And I don't want it to take too long.
Right. There isn't any fat in them. That's why you put it on them, right? And it'll help the seasoning adhere. But you can tell when a chicken breast is done, especially if you've cut it like you did, you can see through the thickness of it. But again, if you are using a thermometer, you want that 165, 170 in there, and then you'll know it's done. Because very popular, very easy. We talked earlier in the show about you making kebabs out of it or chunking it up and putting it on skewers. To me, that's the best way to cook it because now I've got four sides of it exposed. I can see mm-hmm. if the whole thing is done versus yeah. guessing in the middle there a yeah. little bit. And
skinless, boneless, what was it going on in my mind was I'm going to take it up and put it on who knows what kind of grill.
Right.
I want oil on all kinds of sides of that
thing. Right, because you get a grill with a hot spot and part of it's doing well, the other part's slammed. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station, not ring it in. And we're going to talk a little bit of a barbecue wrap-up, maybe a little GI barbecue. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a man, 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 a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Hey, welcome back, and it is time for Man Law. Man Law states that grilling, no matter the weather, is always the first choice of cooking. It's my favorite Man Law.
No question whatsoever. Lots of benefits from that. The smell is outside. The mess is outside. You're standing outside if you choose to smoke a stogie. Great place to be having a little camaraderie with your buddies. You're not in the way of everything else. Need I go on? The grill is the place to do the cooking, and that's why you're listening to The Grilling Guys.
So I wanted to do a little GI barbecue update. We are getting our final blessing from the Marine Corps so that we can ship the end of August our two loads to Camp Pendleton. That's coming right up on us. And we are going to need more freight money. I have not checked with Operation Injured Soldier to see how much has come in since we started asking for help again. But I'm quite sure we don't have enough to pay the freight for those six kids to go out to San Diego.
And if you do want to help, the where you got to go is GIBBQ.com. You'll see it right there. That's our website. Just important to note, 100% of your donation is tax deductible.
And it's just a good site to go to. You need to see what we've been doing for the last couple of years, because there's troops that are going to get good food if you just throw in a little bit of help. Right. And it's $5, it's $10, it's easy for you. They're living a tougher life somewhere, and or going to get shipped out somewhere. And it's just a cool, loving thing to do for your brothers at arms out there.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, the best donations come in from veterans, and they've already paid the price. So I'd like to see all you folks who say, "Man, I was going to go in the military." Well, this is your chance. You can go in the military. You can go in there with some dollars
and
help these troops out.
Big load of barbecue out there. We've got all the piece parts together. We just got to get it there. So we need your help. GIBBQ.com. Help us out. Now, Barbecue Bob, very popular this time of year, is bacon-wrapped everything on the grill, right? You're making hors d'oeuvres for the friends, and you can make this stuff ahead, but talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of bacon on the grill.
Well, the reason I threw bacon on there was, it was almost a thought of, I used to like to try and grill bacon for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And one of the thoughts I ended up with afterwards was, I don't like the taste of bacon grilled.
Right.
It screws it up. I'm so used to a nice fried bacon that once I got, and I would do it on that G-Sport that you now have.
Right.
Because the demo thing was, hey, you can do bacon and it won't flare up.
Right.
Well, you can, but it doesn't taste right. It screws it up.
It's got to soak in its own grease.
It does.
Right. It can't render off.
It just, I don't know, it gets too smoky or too savory, if that's even possible. But I think your biggest thing challenge is to know your temperature if you've got anything bacon wrapped.
Right.
To know your temperature. And again, have a spray bottle. If you don't have a spray bottle by your grill, that's one thing that's going to flare up on you is bacon. You're going to have it happen.
And this is, and my recommendation is anything that's wrapped in bacon, this is active grilling. You are not putting it on there and walking away.
Yeah.
You're going to be there. Now, you can still have a beer in your hand because it's only one hand to run the tongs. But my point is, don't leave. Don't walk away because you'll catch on fire.
Some people actually do set their beer down while they grill, too.
No need.
You can do it.
No need whatsoever. But anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you're having a great summer out in your backyard, whether it's grilling, smoking, or even deep frying. We appreciate you listening each and every week, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Can't get you out of my head.